This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy.I seek refuge in him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among thy troops are the victors, and place me in thy party, for thy party are the ones who prosper.And place me among thy friends, for thy friends, no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile.Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions,the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless thou forgives it, and leave no grief unless thou takes it away, and leave no enemy, unless thou repelst him. By meansOf in the name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is his anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is his good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from thee,O patron of beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special which comes to you. The topic of this program is Naming the Child.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Today, Monday, is the 21st of Rabiul Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 17th of the month of Azar, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of December, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. It's a good time to open the Holy Quran, look at chapter Araf, verse 180.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون.
And to Allah belong the best names, so invoke Him by them. And leave the company of those who practice deviation concerning his names. They will be recompensed for what they have been doing.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The purpose of the beautiful names is the attributes of Allah, which are holy, good and holy, beautiful. The objective meaning of calling on Allah by the beautiful names is not only to utter those names simply by the tongue and to say, for example, O Nur of the Unseen, O Almighty, and O the Most Merciful of all merciful, but in fact the purpose is that we try to settle these qualities in ourselves as much as possible. In other words, we should have His, Allah's, attributes and make our manner similar of that of Allah with our limited attempt, inshallah. Naming the child. The highly religious parents name their child after the prophets, the imams, and other religious personalities. If the parents desire their children to struggle in the cause of the faith, they name them after Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, Abul Fadl, Abbas, Hamza, Jafar, Ammar, Saeed, and etc. If the parents are enamored of any sport, they like to name their children after renowned players of that sport. Similarly, if the parents appreciate the art of any musician, they may prefer to name their child after that person. When the nature of the parents is tyrannical, they take pride in naming the child after historical, cruel personalities. It is noticed that while naming the child, the parents generally associate themselves with certain groups and people of the past. This will have a definite impact on the nature and thinking of the child when he grows up. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with names and choosing names for our children. In all Muslim communities and in all Muslim families, it's expected to have at least one person who bears the name Muhammad. And this is really very important because it shows that the Muslim communities are identified by the names its individuals or its members bear. There's a piece of recommendation, piece of hadith related from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that he advised his companions and by the same token and by extension other people to name even miscarried babies, because those miscarried babies will be resurrected on the day of resurrection, and they would be addressed by the names. If they don't have any name here in this world, if they haven't been named in this world, well, they've been deprived of having received any name. And on the resurrection day, they would raise an objection against the parents why they had left them without a name or nameless. We find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had named the last baby, the last son of Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha, that is her daughter. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had named her lost son as Mohsen. However, Mohsen or Mohassen, I mean, according to various recordings in history books, was miscarried.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIV English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Islamic tips on naming Muslim baby. Understand Arabic prefixes like bin, bint, and om before using them. If you are thinking of naming your baby with an Arabic prefix like bin or bint or om, you need to have a clear understanding of what they mean. Arabic name prefix bin, what does it mean? The meaning of bin is son of. So for example, Hamza bin Ali means Hamza, son of Ali. Arabic name prefix bint. The meaning of bint is daughter of. So for example, Zainab bint Ali means Zainab, daughter of Ali. And the other one, Arabic name prefix om. The meaning of om is mother of. So for example, Umm Fatima means mother of Fatima. Do not name your newborn with Umm prefix only.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib.
جفعة أنا لها أنا لها.
The Islamic naming system. The system of naming people after their fathers and forefathers occurs in most cultures, we know. Even in English, George, the son of John, in time became George, John's son, and eventually became George Johnson. In pre-Islamic times, the Arabic used to change the lineage of their adopted sons to their own lineage, and this practice also occurred during the early period of Prophet Muhammad's prophethood. However, Allah forbade this practice in Medina, in the city of Medina, where the majority of the religious, social, and economic laws of Islam were revealed. It is reported that after the Prophet freed Zayd ibn Harith and adopted him, people used to refer to him as Zayd ibn Muhammad, until Allah revealed the following ayah: call them by their father's names. It is more just to Allah. Chapter 33, verse 5.
As a father or mother, many of you here are parents, or inshallah one day you'll get married and you will have the honor of being parents. The question is here: why is it necessary that I bring my child up with faith? Why is it important? Why, as a father or mother, should I worry that my child grows up to be a practicing Muslim, to be a devout, God-fearing Muslim? Why is that important? Why should that be in my agenda when I want to bring up my child? You see, besides the obvious fact that I mentioned, that our children have both physical and spiritual needs, and as a loving and caring father and mother, I should cater to both, not just the physical, the spiritual needs, and faith is one of the needs of the child. Despite this fact, if I raise my child in an Islamic way, in a way in which I cater for his spiritual needs as well, this will work in my interest as well, the father and mother. I will benefit from this as well. How so? Two ways. If I raise my child in an Islamic way, me, the father and the mother, I will benefit in two ways. How? Number one, you find many parents, when their children are growing up, and especially when they reach the age of what? The teenage years. They have many concerns, many things that they worry about. And there are two main things that they worry about. The first thing is that they fear rebellion from their children. I, the father and the mother, raised this child. I spent money on this child. I love this child. I sacrifice for this child. Once he becomes a teenager, he rebels. He no longer listens to me. He begins to disrespect me. One of the greatest fears of parents is what? Is having an ungrateful father, an ungrateful son or daughter. But if I raise my child in the Islamic way, I will never have to fear that.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and let us ponder upon a beautiful statement from the leader of the pious and the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Beware of the flight of blessings, for nothing that runs away is returned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am,
yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Every society needs a leader. Basically, every community needs a governor, or people need governorship. There needs to be leadership and rulership that occurs within a society in order for that society to function properly. Now, there are many different aspects, many different types of leadership and rulership that we can see in the world today. And not to say that these are all anti-Islamic. This is not the place to discuss this. Obviously, in those discussions that deal with Islam and Islamic politics and so on and so forth, it is, and it should rather be discussed there. However, one thing that should be known is that Islam is not separate from politics, and politics is not separate from Islam. The concept of religion and state, or church and state, does not exist in Islam. Islam is itself stateship, and stateship in essence should be Islam. And again, this is something that will be explained and should be explained by those experts in that field. In this tradition, though, it's a very beautiful tradition, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam indicates and mentions that the position of a true and just and humble ruler upon the community, that this person has two extremely important qualities that he possesses by being in that position. So the Holy Prophet says, or is reported to have said, that the just and humble ruler is Allah's shade and his lance on this earth. So when we look at the word shade, that this individual is a mercy, this individual is a place of protection for that society. That when a person is tired, when a person is restless, he goes and sits under the shade. He gets comfort from it. So the ruler is a place, if done properly, or if he is a person who is humble and God-fearing, then obviously he is a shade, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade on earth. And secondly, he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lance, meaning that he is a person who will protect Islam. He is a person who will protect the community, one. So on one side of the coin. On the other side, we can see that this person is a person who will punish those individuals who deserve to be punished with the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid forth. That he is that lance, that he is that person who will implement the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the letter. And therefore we see that he is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's lance. So here we see that the individual is both sides, that he will try and, you know, take care of the spiritual needs of the individual, and he will try and take care of the physical needs of the individual. However, for example, another issue that should be mentioned is that if this just ruler does not know the Islamic teachings, he will be one who is able to take guidance from those who are able to guide him, from the rightful scholars. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide us with a ruler like this, inshaAllah. But the best of rulers is the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr wa-Zaman. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten his reappearance so that he will definitely be the shade and the lance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. The Quran is a book in which its beauty is confessed by even non-Muslim scholars. In this segment, we are going to listen to some quotes from different scholars about the Noble Quran. Hamilton Alexander Ruskin Gibb, 1895-1971, known as H.A.R. Gibb, was a Scottish historian on Orientalism. He wrote many books on history of Islam and Arabs. In his book, Arabic Literature, An Introduction, he wrote about the Quran the following. The influence of the Quran on the development of Arabic literature has been incalculable and exerted in many directions. Its ideas, its language, its rhymes pervade all subsequent literary works in greater or less measure. Its specific linguistic features were not emulated, either in the Chancery prose of the next century or in the later prose writings, but it was at least partly due to the flexibility imparted by the Quran to the High Arabic idiom that the former could be so rapidly developed and adjusted to the new needs of the imperial government and an expanding society. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verses 15 to 17 of Surah Al-Hujurat, recited by Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of verses 15 to 17 of Surah Al-Hujurat, recited by Sheikh Raghib Mustafa Ghalwash. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله. In the phrase بالله, the lam of the majestic name of Allah is pronounced with ترقيق, with thinness. Now, the thing with the letter lam is that it is pronounced with ترقيق all the time, except in the majestic name of Allah, under certain conditions. For example, if Allah, the name of Allah, is preceded by fatha or dhamma, we pronounce the lam with taghleel, which is the equivalent of tafkheen but we use تغليل for لام. It's basically the same. The mechanism is the same. It's the raising of the root of the tongue, but it just has a different name. For لام, it's called تغليل. Allah, Allah. We don't say Allah, we say Allah. But when it has a kasra, when it's preceded by kasra, we say Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Billahi. Innama al-mu'minun al-ladhina amanu billahi wa rasulih. Rasulih. The ra has to be pronounced with tafkhim, with thickness. ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم. In the phrase أنفسهم, we have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. Okay, it's actually in the word أنفس. Okay, the him is the pronoun. أنفسهم. So we have to approximate the place of articulation of fat and at the same time make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Fi sabilillah. Again, as you can see, the lam of Allah here is pronounced with tarqiq, not with tawlil, because it's preceded by lam with kasra. Fi sabilillah. Ulaika humus sadiqun. الصادقون. The sad has the highest level of tafkhim because it has an alif al-mad and it's a letter of isti'la. All the letters of isti'la must be pronounced with tafkhim, but their levels of tafkhim could be different depending on the vowel or if it has a sukoon. Okay? قل أتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Wad, we have to make sure that is pronounced with istitala. Arb. We hear this sound of in the side of the tongue for arb. And we have to make sure that there is no qalqala. We shouldn't say al. Wama fil arb. Wama fil arb is incorrect. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in ma'aleen. يمنون عليك أن أسلموا أن أسلموا. We have إظهار of نون ساكنة. إظهار of نون ساكنة basically means that you have to pronounce نون ساكنة from its own place of articulation without making any changes to it. أن أسلموا. Of course, you should not make a pause. You should not hold the نون ساكنة too much so that it sounds like a شدة. And you should not pronounce it partially. أن أسلم. Just pronounce it normal. قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين. كنتم has إخفاء. And also إن كنتم has إخفاء. And صادقين has two تفخيمز, one in the صاد and one in the قاف. Okay, dear listeners, that's it for today's program. I hope you enjoyed it. May Allah bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the novel Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, in continuing our story about As'ad and Utbah, we reached this point where there was a discussion between them. And As'ad asked Utbah, where can I find the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
For Asad had heard from the Jewish tribes in Medina about the coming of such a prophet, about the signs of such a prophet, about the eventual arriving of such a prophet in Medina. Utbah tells him, you know, oh Asad, be careful. He is a magician. He is a sahir. His words will, you know, confuse you, will perplex you. Do not listen to him. Be careful to avoid him. So Asad says, look, I am here in Mecca in the month of Rajab. I have to perform the tawaf of the Umrah. And as you said previously, this group of individuals will be here. And as you said, they are the Hajar al-Aswad at the Kaaba. So anyway, Utbah says, fine, if you have to go, then do one thing. Place cotton wool in your ears. Make sure that the words of this person does not affect you, does not come to you, does not enter into your ears. Fine. Asad does this and he goes for tawaf. And he completely packs his eardrums full of cotton wool so that nothing can get in. So anyway, he begins his tawaf. And as he begins his tawaf on the first round of the first cycle that he does, he sees the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and a group of his followers, as where Utbah said, near the Hajar al-Aswad, and he passes them. On the second round, he sees and he speaks to himself and says that there is no one here in Mecca who is more ignorant and foolish than I am. Something is happening here that has been said in the books of the Jews, and I am not following up on it. No. He self-criticizes himself, and he then says to himself, I have to find out what's happening. He takes the cotton out of his ears and throws them away and goes towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and greets him with the form of respect that was done during the day of ignorance. And he says, may the blessing of the day be upon you. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam notices him, looks at him, and says something very beautiful, and says that, you know, we have been brought with something better than this greeting. He didn't say that the greeting was bad. He didn't say that the greeting was something that, you know, don't do it. He said, no, we have been brought with something better. And says, Assalamu alaikum. And he replies to Asad in this way. Anyway, a discussion ensues between the two. And Asad then asks the Holy Prophet, what are you inviting people to? And the Holy Prophet says that I'm inviting people towards monotheism, towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is no God except Him, and that I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Holy Prophet recites this verse from Surah An'am, verse number 151. And the Holy Prophet then says, say, come, I will recount what your Lord has forbidden you from, that you shall not ascribe any partners to Him, and you shall be good to your parents. And the Holy Prophet continues reciting this verse and the next verse, that is 152nd verse from Surah An'am to Asad. On hearing this, Asad becomes extremely moved that this verse and the light of this verse penetrates into his heart. And at that very moment, Asad claims, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasuluhu. And he accepts and he becomes Muslim at that very point. Inshallah, and continue our story until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we'll listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
I would like to begin today's speech by sharing with you some of the stories of the Ahlul Bayt on Muslim and the prophets of God. There was a lady once, you know, she was telling me, a very pure-hearted individual, she was saying that I had the honor of being able to read some stories for children. They were made for children as part of editing like an Islamic studies book. Right? And then she said that, you know, I found it interesting. It was good. It was written for kids, but I found it inspiring for myself. And then soon afterwards, she says that she was expecting, it was time for me to deliver. And, you know, I went to the hospital and there was some very severe, significant complications. And she said that there was times where it wasn't certain that I would be living. That's how severe it got. But the thing that got me through those times was those kids' stories that I had read of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They were so simple. They were just, you know, small, short stories, but I found them to be such a source of inspiration for me. And this is the way it is, brothers and sisters. Sometimes, you know, you can go and, let's say, read all the self-help books that you want. You can go and take all those seminars. You can read all the philosophers. You can read all the theorists. But you don't find anything that can approach the truth and the certitude that you find within the teachings and the life of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So, the first story I would like to share with you tonight is a story from the life of our fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. There's a hadith which says that there was a group of companions who had gone to see their Imam. And they found him in a state of distress. He was worried. He couldn't find peace. And it was clear that there was something that was troubling him. So they ask him, he says that one of my children, my son, is severely ill. Now, the companions, you know, they see that the Imam is talking to them, and then he goes and checks on the son, he comes back, and they see that the Imam is troubled. And they discuss amongst themselves, and they say that, you know, God forbid that something should happen to the son of the Imam. And that we should see some type of behavior from the Imam that would be surprising for us. Now, of course, you know, the Imam alayhi salam is ma'asum. But maybe these companions, you know, they were just thinking to themselves that even we know who the Imam is, but, you know, maybe, you know, he might sort of not be able to deal with this. Right? So they see him in that state, and then after a little while, there is a cry that is heard in the house, and the Imam alayhi salam rushes away, and now they're thinking that, okay, definitely something's happened. But to their surprise, when the Imam comes back to them, his face is now at ease, and his body is at ease, and he's totally calm. So they present the question. They said that, what happened? He says, okay, well, he's passed away. They said that, well, how is this the case? We thought that the reaction that you would have in this circumstance would be exactly the opposite, that you were already at this level, now you would go to the next level. But the Imam al-Islam tells them something, and there's a great lesson there for us. He says that until the time that my son was alive, then it was something that I wished for him to live. After all, we would like those who support us to be living. And therefore, I was entreating Allah, I was pleading to him, I was taking my case to him, I was presenting my requests to him. But when Allah decreed that my son should no longer live, then I became happy and satisfied with his decree. This is something which is quite amazing, right? That somebody can align their preferences with the preferences of God. It's something which can give incredible meaning to life. Because everything now starts to be connected to one center and one core. The Rabb of the entire earth and the Rabb of the Sama, he takes his proper position in our lives, and we start to recognize him if we take that approach. We have traditions from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, our Prophet and the Imams, where it's interesting, they would always be seen as saying Alhamdulillah when a blessing would come their way. If you remember, in the first story I mentioned that there's three characteristics. One of them is a shukru in the raha, that when at times of ease, you're thankful. They would always be seen as saying Alhamdulillah when a blessing would come to them. And when there would be some type of thing that they would be a challenge for them, a roadblock, you know, a calamity would befall them, then they would also be seen as saying Alhamdulillah. Sometimes they would be seen as saying Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. And this is something which itself conveys an incredible philosophy. Because most people, first of all, when they are given a blessing of Allah, okay, it just happens. Right? They don't see it as being connected to anything beyond what it's a very secular treatment of like the blessings that they get. Right? We're told, for example, since we're young, that every time you sit and you begin your meal, you say Bismillah. And then when you end the meal, you say Alhamdulillah. Okay? Now, practically speaking, do we see believers, you know, in all their busyness and their, you know, ultra sort of modern lifestyles and trying to rush to this thing, and definitely there's a lot of pressure, right, a lot of responsibility. Do we see that people take the time to do these things? Right? Something so simple where somebody can do to acknowledge, but there's so much depth to it. What is the depth to it? Number one is that when somebody says Alhamdulillah, they are acknowledging the source of the blessing. Okay, it is Allah. Number two is that they are reminding themselves of the purpose behind that blessing. What is the purpose behind it? The purpose behind it is that Allah wants us to get to know Him and to love Him. And so He gives us that as a way of remembering Him. You know, sometimes you have somebody that you really like. And so, you know, you think and you start to observe and you start to know that, okay, there's certain things that they like and dislike, certain needs they might have. And one time you buy a gift for them. And I don't know if you ever received that type of gift, like one that came with thought. You, first of all, you appreciate it. And then second of all, whenever you use that gift, you remember that person. You know, there's certain people who have that talent where they know exactly how to give you the right thing that you need. But the one who is the most talented is Allah Ta'ala. Because every single thing that we're given all the time is from Him. Those blessings that He gives us are actually there as a way for us to remember Him. But what kind of injustice do we do when we don't even bring Him into the conversation of our hearts and our lives? One time, one of the Imams, he said that the way to be thankful to Allah is that you should, first of all, stay away from committing those acts which are haram, right? Because that is the ultimate act of ingratitude. Second of all, he says, قَوْلُ الرَّجَلِ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ is the perfection of thankfulness. I mean, if somebody wants to be thankful to Allah in the most perfect way, how do they do that? First of all, obviously they act in the way that they should, but second of all, is that they say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Why? Because in that, they are acknowledging this philosophy that, look at this blessing is there for me to remember my Lord and to appreciate and to love Him. I should know it's from Him. So, the Ahlul Bayt al-Islam, this is the type of life they would live. When good things would happen, they would be praising Allah. When negative things would happen, they would be patient.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen
شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ocean of Dua.
Amma inni as'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-'afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil
To brothers and sisters, previously we concluded that the divine love acts as a protection. The hearts of the people, dear listeners, are at different levels and stages in relation to the love of Allah. Among the instances of love is a kind of love which is so superficial and so weak that it remains unnoticed even by the lover himself. And yet, among its instances is the kind of love which fills the heart of the person such that it does not leave any empty place in it for other things, things which people take as amusement and which occupy their time from the remembrance of the Almighty Allah.
Walhamdulillahi ala afwihi ba'da qudratih.